You probably have discerned that we're in the book of 1 Samuel. You probably discerned that because I had Mike read from 1 Samuel. So you might turn there now to 1 Samuel. And the text I actually want to preach on is in chapter 3. And it is the words of the little boy Samuel when God called him. Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And that's in verse 10, chapter 3, 1 Samuel. Now this boy was the son of Elkanah and Hannah. He had been lent to the Lord's service. He was in the temple with Eli, the high priest, and he was being taught and trained and nurtured there. He was put there at a very young age. We're told after he was weaned that he was then given over into Eli's charge. And we know from the Word of God that Samuel went on to be a judge of Israel. He fulfilled the duties of a priest as well, and he was a prophet of God, and he was greatly used in the Lord's services. Now, Eli was already quite old when Samuel was placed in his care. As a priest, Eli would have been of the tribe of Levi. He would have been a direct descendant of Aaron. And he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who were also priests. And these men were evil. They were whoremongers. They were men who not only were whoremongers, but for their own gain, they abused and exploited the sacrifices which the people brought to the temple. And Eli himself seems to have been an upright man. He seems to have been a man who did love God, but he had a problem. He had a sin. He loved his sons more than he loved God. And he didn't restrain his sons from evil by removing them from the priesthood, by seeing that they received the due recompense of their crimes against God. He didn't honor God. He honored his sons. Now, Samuel, at a very late age, had problems with his sons as well, but it was a totally different situation. Not like Eli. This was just an ongoing thing with Eli. Now, Eli earlier had been confronted, I say earlier, previous to the text we will be in chapter 3, he had been confronted by a prophet concerning his sons. Certainly he had been confronted by the Word of God as well and by the Spirit of God. But he was confronted by a prophet concerning his sons. Now turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we'll be reading the verses 22 through 36. 1 Samuel chapter 2. We'll see where Eli has been confronted by a prophet. The verse is 32 that we start in. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel. And of course he knew, when it says he heard, he knew this was going on. It was ongoing. And how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, "Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them." And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come, and I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread. So it is a serious thing not to honor the Lord. It's a serious thing to despise the Lord, and we can do that by giving honor to something that shouldn't have honor. We can do that by refusing to honor the Lord first in all things and uphold our duties to Him. Now, Eli, you see him, he almost begged his sons not to do the things they were doing, but he didn't assert his authority. And it was too late at that point. Verse 29, it says, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. You make yourself fat. You know, fat is used in the Bible in many different ways. Sometimes it's a land is fat. It's full of good things. And we can be described spiritually as fat and full of good works. But then there's also a use of that word fat to describe people who are selfish and self-indulgent, undisciplined and soft. It's no coincidence that in America, obesity is one of the biggest health problems there is. We're talking about obesity here. And this is a picture of just being self-indulgent, no self-control, selfish, undisciplined. He says, you made yourselves fat. Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. But Jeshurun, this is Israel, waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. And so we see Jeshurun, and we see also Eli and his sons kicking against the things of God, kicking against his honor, having no respect, no honor, not the concern they should have, the zeal they should have, but just having contempt against the honor of God and for the honor of God. And you know, today, there's plenty of ministers in the house of God today who are, spiritually speaking, laying with strange women and perverting the worship of God. There's plenty today that have grown fat. They're concerned for their own things. They're concerned for their own ministry. They're concerned for their own reputation. They're concerned for their own well-being, their own material well-being. In 30 it says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Lightly esteemed. Now, subsequent to this prophecy, the Lord put his word concerning the same matter. I say, following this, he put His word concerning this same grievous matter into the mouth of little Samuel. And that brings us to our text. You can turn to Samuel chapter 3. And here I'm going to read 1 through 21. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou calledest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, this statement by Eli in verse 19 is really a sad thing. It's a sad insight into what he had become. He's been ignoring what's going on. That's what the text tells us. He's been ignoring what's going on. He knows of it, but he's been ignoring it. He was confronted by a prophet. No dust and ashes and sackcloth for Eli. And now he just simply says, It's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Well, that's a good attitude to have, but for the wrong reason. In this case, he should have done what was good. Now, Eli ignored the first warning about his sons. He ignored other warnings because he loved them more than he loved God. He honored his sons more than he honored God. Now, Eli, rather than put on sackcloth and ashes, he simply says, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. You know, we need to repent when we're confronted by the word of the Lord. We need to repent. It doesn't matter how late the hour is. Consider Manasseh. King Manasseh, he shed so much blood. He filled all Jerusalem with bloodshed. He was a wicked man. He was an idolatrous man. And God punished him with the king of Assyria carrying him off into captivity. And yet we're told in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 13, it says that Manasseh prayed unto him, unto God, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew the Lord, he was God. And Manasseh carried out a great reformation in the kingdom. We forget this sometimes. Eli should have reformed his ways and carried out a reformation with God's help. He didn't. It's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Now, Mike has read 1 Samuel chapter 4. And you see what happened. When the Israelites went to war against the Philistines, they took the Ark of God along as if it's some sort of magic thing that would then ward off the Philistines. They took it out of the temple of God, or out of the tabernacle. The problem was with them. It was with their hearts. But they turned to this. The Philistines, of course, beat them. Hophni and Phinehas were killed. The ark was taken. Eli hears the news. falls over backwards when he hears about the Ark of God and dies with a broken neck. Phinehas' wife, we see this in chapter 4, 21 and 22. And she named the child Ichabod. She gave birth immediately. She went into labor, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the Ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the Ark of God is taken." Now, I want to go back to that night when the mantle of a prophet was put on to Samuel. And the Lord spoke to him for the first time of many, many times. Now, Samuel at that point, prior to this, didn't know the Lord in a saving way. He had heard of the Lord. He had heard talk of the Lord. He was familiar with the whole sacrificial system, which spoke of the Lord and typified many things, including the gospel. He was in the temple, but he hadn't heard of the Lord in a saving way, and he hadn't heard his word in a prophetic way up until now. God hadn't spoken to him. But in Samuel, we see this earnest child, eager to please, eager to obey his master. The heart was there. The ground had been prepared. When the Lord called him, he said, "Here am I," immediately. "Here am I." And then he ran, it says, unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou calledest me." Eli said, "Go lay down, I didn't call you." The Lord called him again. Right away he ran again. No hesitation. "Here am I, for thou didst call me." "Go lie down, I didn't call." The Lord called again. "Here am I, for thou didst call me." He thought Eli was calling him, but it was the Lord. Three times. He was told to lie down twice. He heard his name called, and he jumped up as if he had never heard it before the other times, and ran right away. He had this obedient heart. He ran three times, prepared to obey and serve his master. Three times. There was no hesitation. No more hesitation the first time than there was, or I should say the last time, than there was the first time. Even though Eli kept saying, "I called not." You know, God is holy, holy, holy. And Samuel was certainly obedient, obedient, obedient. We ought to take a lesson from that. Now, the third time that Samuel came running to Eli, Eli perceived that it was the Lord who was calling to Samuel. And he gave him counsel and instruction. And it was correct counsel. It was correct instruction. But it's a ironic picture, isn't it? To hear Eli say to this boy, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" He tells the boy what to do. He wasn't doing it. Now, when next the Lord called Samuel's name, he answered, "Then speak," he says, "for thy servant heareth." And unlike Eli, Samuel did hear. He heard with a believing heart, and he continued to hear the Lord throughout his life. And the result was this: that Samuel was greatly used of the Lord, and he's remembered as a great man of God to this very day, unlike Eli. The little boy said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." This ought to be the Christian's heartfelt prayer. Daily we ought to be praying this: "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." God hears us, but we need to hear him. And it ought to be the principle which rules our spiritual life until the day we leave this world. I said God hears us. But I will tell you, if we regard iniquity in our heart, he doesn't hear us. That's what the Bible says. And we can quench away the Spirit of God. But God hears his people. But do we hear him? "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Says this: "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." In the fullness of the time, the Messiah, this Messiah to whom all the types pointed, all the types of the Old Testament, and all the prophets had testified of him, this Messiah came. preaching the gospel, and the gospel was fully realized in him. And we have the words of the prophets, and we have the words of the apostles, and we have the words of Christ. We have the sure word of prophecy. We have the inspired, preserved word of God, and we're to live by it. The Lord has spoken to us by these things. The Lord Jesus Christ, this is his word. True believers are able to discern the word of God by the Holy Spirit, who speaks to us. This Holy Spirit that Christ sent to dwell in us. He's called the Spirit of Christ. He's come to dwell in us and among us and work through us. That's the Spirit of Christ. Christ dwelling in us. Our Lord Jesus Christ has sent him to be our teacher and comforter. The Spirit instructs us. The Spirit convicts us. The Spirit enlightens us. The Spirit comforts us. The Spirit calls us out of error and compromise. The Holy Spirit calls us out of apathy and lukewarmness. The Spirit of Christ calls us out of carnality and ignorance and out of selfishness and foolishness and out of disobedience and worldliness. The Spirit of Christ calls us to a lifetime of biblical separation, to sanctification, to obedience, to sacrifice, to service, and to joy, and to peace, and to glory, and perhaps to reproach and persecution. Now, the Spirit of God speaks both by the Word of God to our hearts in a still small voice. He makes application of the Word. And I say, he's speaking to those who want to hear him. Not just concerning doctrine, but concerning all our ways, all our thoughts, all our habits, all our words. For those who will listen, he's speaking. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us, as I say, through his word and to our hearts and by the preaching of the Lord's true ministers. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, speaks to us. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, Christ Jesus speaks to his people in these ways. Hebrews 13, verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now when the boy Samuel heard the Lord speak to him, when the boy Samuel heard the Lord call him, what did he say? Well, first he thought it was Eli. But what counts is what he said. He said, here am I, for thou calledest me. Here am I, no hesitation, for thou calledest me. Certainly he was not being called by Eli, but by the Lord. And he was being effectually called to both salvation and service at that time. But those in Christ are said by the word of God to be the called. The called. The whole world is not said to be the called. But only those who are effectually called to Christ, drawn by God's irresistible grace, and saved by his omnipotent power are said to be the called. If we're in Christ, if we're washed in his blood, if we're clothed in his righteousness, if we have an eternal union with him, shouldn't we place ourselves in our master's service? Is it not proper and essential that we say to the Lord, here am I, for thou calledest me. He called us to salvation, to glory, to service. Shouldn't we say, here am I, for thou calledest me? I didn't call myself. He called me. And should we do this grudgingly? Should we do this in a miserly way? Should we do this in an inconsistent way, rather than with an eager heart? An eager heart? Like that of the little boy Samuel. He said, here am I, for thou calledest me. It's a simple thing for Samuel. He hears his voice, here am I. He runs to his master, thou calledest me, here am I. Tell me what to do. Shouldn't we be the same way? Here am I, for thou calledest me. Thou hast calledest me to eternal life. Thou didst call me to be a saint. Thou didst call me out of darkness into thy marvelous light. Thou didst call me according to thy purposes. Thou didst call me to be a child of God. Thou didst call me unto the fellowship of thy Son. Thou didst call me into the grace of God and into a holy calling. Thou didst call me into thy kingdom and glory. And here I am, for thou didst call me. This should be us. And when we consider the gift of God, which we have in Jesus Christ our Lord, shouldn't our reaction, when we consider that gift, be to eagerly run to the throne of God and say, here am I, for thou calledest me to service, to good works, to contend for the faith, to build up the near ruins of the temple of God in our day. Perhaps called us some to be missionaries and others to be ministers. It's popular among evangelicals these days to quote the prophet Isaiah, who said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. But never in the history of the Christian church in this nation have so many evangelicals been so unwilling to hear the voice of the Lord. What good is it to say, here am I, for thou calledest me, and we should say it. But what good is it to say it if we're not going to also say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Thy servant heareth. Thy servant heareth thy word. Thy servant heareth thy word. Thy servant heareth the Holy Spirit, which applies the word to his heart. And not only doctrine, not only an understanding of doctrine, but we need to hear the Holy Spirit when he speaks to our heart concerning our habits, our conversation, our associations, our words, our attitudes, our intentions, our sense of duty, our commitment, the state of our heart. Are we thankful? Are we grateful? Are we trusting? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak to me about what the Christian life is and how I'm living it. Now Eli instructed the lad Samuel. He said, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Earlier I said, well, that's kind of ironic coming from Eli. It's the right advice, but it's sort of ironic when you think it's coming from Eli. Maybe more ironic than you realize. The Hebrew word, which is translated into the English word heareth in our text, means to truly hear. It doesn't mean just to hear the words, but to listen attentively and to hear them with an obedient, humble heart. So Eli counseled Samuel well. Eli counseled him well to do more than to just hear the word of the Lord. How many hear the word of the Lord? They hear the word of the Lord preached on Sunday morning. They walk out, but did they hear the word of the Lord? Eli counseled him to hear the word of the Lord, to listen to the word of the Lord, to listen attentively, to have a heart committed to obeying this revealed word of the Lord. So Eli instructed Samuel to do what he himself had not done and was not going to do, at least with regard to his rebellious, whoremongering, blasphemous sons. Samuel said, speak. Speak, for thy servant heareth. And he heard. He heard. He wasn't mocking God when he said, speak, for thy servant heareth. Let's be careful we don't mock God. Now, several things I want to point out about this. Speak, for thy servant heareth. Beware of being like Eli. Remember Eli, who gave this advice. We have to beware of instructing others to do what we may not be doing ourselves with a whole heart. You tell your children what to do. Well, what about you? What example are you setting for them? You instruct your children out of the word of God in the right way of living. And in obeying God and honoring him. What about you? Sometimes parents expect more out of children than they expect out of themselves. You're supposed to set the standard. Your own life. And we're good at instructing sometimes the obviously rebellious and the apostate and the lost and the world, saying that they should hear the word of the Lord. Do we hear it? Because if we hear it, we will respond as Paul did on the road to Damascus. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Not just what should I tell the world that they're supposed to do because they're doing things wrong. What should I tell my children that they're supposed to do to obey God? What should I tell those who are in obvious rebellion and the apostate concerning God and His glory and His word? But Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Speak, for thy servant heareth. You say you know the Lord. You say that He redeemed you with His precious blood. I say, do you know His voice? Have you heard the voice of the Lord as you ought? Your life shows one way or the other. Are you listening? Are you hearing the way Samuel heard? Our lives show it. Now, secondly, we may well say to the Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. But do we hear? I say, first, we have to be careful that we tell others to hear. Now I'm saying, do we hear? We say it. We tell others, hear the word of the Lord. Listen to the Lord. Listen to His voice. Obey His voice. What about us? Speak, for thy servant heareth. But do we hear? Have any of us set up a system of censorship in our mind? It just censors out the things we don't want to obey or the things we don't want to believe. Do any of us have eyes that see not and ears that hear not when it comes to those truths of the Scripture which call us to sacrifice in certain ways or change specific things or trust the Lord in certain ways? Is it our constant prayer, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth? You know, it says about Samuel in chapter 3:19, and Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and did not let none of his words fall to the ground. None of the Lord's words fell to the ground from Samuel. In other words, they found a home in his heart. They were written on his heart. They hedged him in. The commands, the doctrines, but also the promises. You turn away from His commands as if, well, these things are the word of the Lord, but you treat them like there's not the authority of the Lord there. And you despise them. You don't honor them. And you treat doctrine lightly as if it's not important. I will tell you that these promises of the Lord in the same word, you'll not be able to apprehend them as you would have, because it's by the Holy Spirit, and you're showing despite to God. You're not honoring God with the rest of His word. And the same Spirit that helps us there to understand and to obey is the same Spirit that causes us to receive these promises as the very word of God, to stand on those promises as an unmovable rock, because these promises are rooted in Jesus Christ, that eternal rock, our Savior. Now, can this be said of you, that you let none of the Lord's words fall to the ground, unheard, unheeded, unresponded to? Do you show contempt to them? Do you despise them? We ought all to examine our hearts here. I said none of His word. I didn't say, do you make sure some doesn't fall to the ground? I said, none of His words. Do you let none of them fall to the ground? I mean, that's the way with far too many Christians today, who justify all sorts of compromise, corruption, lawlessness, and not to mention spiritual coldness. Be careful. You see the lawlessness. You see the corruption. You might see the compromise in others. What about the coldness in your own heart? What about a willing ignorance of things that the Lord has spoken? And you've said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth," but you're not hearing. There is a selective hearing of the word of the Lord among the Lord's people today, and that accounts for the total lack of fear almost in them. They don't serve the Lord with fear and trembling, so many people. All of us can see some of this in us. And there is among the Lord's people a willful ignorance and a willing resting of God's word. There is a hearing that is no hearing at all. I always think of the prophet Jeremiah, or I should say Ezra, or I should say Ezekiel. I think of all of them. But in this case, because all of them preached to a people who would not listen. But the people knew there was a prophet in the land nevertheless. But God told Ezekiel this, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh," as the people of God would come to hear the word of God. They come like they are the people of God and like they want to hear. And he says, "And they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words," the word of the prophet, speaking the word of the Lord, of course, "but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." It's their covetousness, the things they want, the things they don't want to give up, the beliefs they don't want to give up, the material possessions they don't want to give up, the life they don't want to give up, the sin they don't want to give up, the associations they don't want to give up. They covet these things. They covet the things of the world. They covet a certain, shall we say, lifestyle. And so they don't really hear the word. They say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth," but they don't hear. And when they don't hear, they won't do. If a Christian won't do, he hasn't really heard. Not with his heart. Now, when little Samuel answered the Lord, he said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." His heart was toward the Lord. This was from the heart. And he was eager to both know the word of the Lord and to obey it. Now this set the pattern for Samuel's life. What pattern are you setting for your life? What have you fallen into? What have I fallen into for a pattern when it comes to the word of the Lord and hearing his word? What sort of a pattern have we fallen into? We hear some falls to the ground, some doesn't make it past the censor in our mind. What sort of a pattern? "Them that honor me, I will honor." This is what the Lord says with regard to his word. And the Lord honored. The Lord honored the hearing, obedient Samuel. He honored him with wisdom and knowledge and power. And no doubt, peace and joy in his obedient, hearing heart. That's not to say he had an easy life. I'd rather have a hard life with peace and joy in my heart than a so-called easy life with a heart that's conflicted and filled with doubts and filled with bitterness and filled with unfaithfulness and filled with unthankfulness and with no power in my life. And I don't see the glory of God then. Now the Lord used Samuel for his glory throughout Samuel's life. And now Samuel is rejoicing with the saints in glory. I mean, to put it very crudely, it was worth it. And Samuel has left behind a legacy of faith for the church of Jesus Christ to emulate. In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 1, "Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth." So Moses and Samuel would stand before the Lord and intercede for that people. It wouldn't have mattered. But Moses and Samuel, God chose as holy men, righteous men, godly men, faithful men, consistent men, out of all the people of God to use as an example, even with those two men interceding, this people, it'll do them no good. And then we can look in Hebrews chapter 11. And we can see Samuel's name listed in the roll of the faithful from Old Testament times. Samuel said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." He said it, and he meant it. He said it, and he meant it. Samuel honored the Lord throughout his life, and the Lord then honored Samuel. Isn't that the promise? Isn't that the promise? Them that honor me, I will honor. Now, Eli is another matter. In the issue of his son's wickedness, Eli listened, but he didn't hear, not with an obedient heart. And so Eli suffered. We certainly know he suffered loss in this world. We know he caused others to suffer loss. We know that Eli's legacy carries a black mark of shame. We know all of this. We know that no one in his family was ever a high priest again. We know that. And this is all because Eli didn't listen to the word of the Lord as written in the law and spoken to him also through a prophet and by the Holy Spirit. He didn't listen. He didn't really hear. And remember what the Lord said to Eli through that prophet. He said, "For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Don't forget that part of the prophecy. So we may say with our mouth to the Lord, "Here am I, for thou callest me." We may say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." But if our heart is not set to serve the Lord, if we're not willing to obey his word and determined with his help to do it, we might as well curse him. We might as well blaspheme him because we're showing him dishonor. We're despising him. We're despising his word. We're treating him lightly. "Oh, speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. And I'm going to hear exactly what I want to hear and nothing I don't want to hear." "For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." They that honor me. Do we honor his name? With everything that means, when we talk about giving glory to God's name, we talk about honoring his name, we're talking about his name, his person, his works. We're talking about how we worship him. We're talking about how we preach the gospel, how we speak of him. Do we honor his name? "For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Do we honor his word? Every word of God is true. Do we honor it as his word, his very word? Do we honor his day? It's called his day, his sanctified day. Do we honor it? Honor it and he'll honor you. But I tell you, you despise his name, his word, you despise his day, and he will lightly esteem you. And this is the word of the Lord. Do we honor God personally? Do we honor God corporately? Where do we need to change? "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Speak today, Lord, to thy servants in these matters. Speak to me. Do we honor him in our families, in our churches, at home, in the world, in our conversation, in our prayer, in our worship, in our work? It would do each of us well to consider that there's some matters where the Lord has spoken, but we haven't listened. We haven't heard. We might have said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth," but we're not hearing. Have we said, "Speak, Lord, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth," and yet we're openly, I say, living contrary to the very word the Lord has spoken to us? If that's so, we're showing the Lord contempt. And we're doing that before the church and the world. And I will tell you something. I'm speaking of openly. You may have your fierce wars with sin and Satan, but I'm talking about openly living contrary to the very word of the Lord. And I'll tell you, don't judge by this modern church, please. And I shouldn't either. Because what it is to be a Christian and live like a Christian cannot be ascertained by the majority of Christians today, the vast majority in how they live. "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." You say you believe you're not your own. You say you were bought with a price. You say that you are the called of Jesus Christ. You have the witness. You have the testimony. You have the earnest of the Spirit. Jesus Christ is your surety. Do you have this eagerness then to obey and serve? Do you have that same eagerness the little boy Samuel had? That little boy, here I am, for thou calledest me. I mean, what a wonderful thing to have a heart like that. What a wonderful thing to be willing and eager to serve our Master. Not go months and months and months and months and months without really even thinking of anything other than, I have to get to church on time on Sunday. Here I am, for thou calledest me. I've been called for a purpose. To be willing and to be eager to serve the Master. I mean, what a wonderful thing. What a blessing to hear the word of the Lord, to hear our name called by Him, and to run to serve Him as our Master, as the shepherd and bishop of our soul. Here I am, for thou calledest me. Now speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. This is the way to honor the Lord. This is the way to bring Him glory. This is the way to find favor with the Lord. This is the way to see His glory. To see His glory. To see His glory in our life. Rather than live a life with the word Ichabod stamped on it. Moses said, I beseech thee to the Lord, show me thy glory. Have you ever even considered that you would like to see more of the glory of God in your life and in your church? See God glorified more and to see His glory in the church and through the church? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. You say you believe the Bible is the Word of God and that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. But will you now say, in all sincerity, knowing what it means, knowing who God is, knowing what a grievous thing it is to mock God and treat Him lightly, to lie to God, can you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth? Can you and I say that? Will you say, speak, Lord, speak to me through thy word and to my heart by the Holy Spirit? Will you say, speak, Lord, and show me, instruct me in how to live a life which brings honor to thee and spiritual blessings to me and to my posterity and to my church? Thy church, Lord, thy church. Will you say, speak, Lord, and give me the zeal to go deeper into thy word in order to know thee better and live for thee more? Will you say, speak, Lord, and give me the courage to accept thy word as it's revealed and confirmed by the Holy Spirit, to contend for thy word and to live by thy word as it's revealed through and in Jesus Christ, thy Son? Will you say that? Can you say that in all sincerity? Can you say, speak, Lord, show me where my life is not in conformity to thy word and needs reformation? Will you say from the heart, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth? If you won't, or if you say it with a false heart, you're going to inevitably bring loss on yourself, on your family, and on the Church of Christ. I'll tell you, your family coat of arms may someday bear the word Ichabod across it. The church, which is made up of a people who either won't say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, or perhaps even worse, will say it but won't hear, that church may stay open. But the glory of God will be long departed. If His glory was ever there, it'll have Ichabod over the door. The man or woman who doesn't seek to hear the Lord and even refuses to hear the voice of the Lord in faith and obedience during good times and in the springtime and summer of his life, this one shouldn't plan on hearing the comforting word of the Lord in hard times and in the winter of their life. I say, if you won't listen when you're in the full flush of strength and health, and in the springtime of your life and in the summer of your life, if you won't listen to the commands of God then, to the instruction of the Lord then, don't expect to hear comfort when you refuse to hear command. Don't expect to hear comfort in hard times and in the winter of your life. And I'm not saying if you're a Christian that the Lord will leave or forsake you, but I'll tell you this. You never learned how to hear His voice. You didn't want to hear His voice. Suddenly, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. You didn't learn how to hear it. You weren't willing to hear it when He was commanding, and now you want comfort. The problem's with you, not with Him. Now, the Christian has the blessing of hearing the Lord Himself. We hear the Lord Himself speak to our heart by the Holy Spirit. He speaks by His Word, and He speaks through the preaching of the Word. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of things and speaks to us in ways that, well, we can't even explain, but He does. Is it Almighty God who speaks to you and speaks to me by our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, then, if so, we would do well to listen to His voice, to be eager to obey, to be faithful, to be able to say, speak, for thy servant heareth, and not be a reproach to God, an insult to Him. It's not our nature to humble ourselves. It's not our nature to humble ourselves and truly seek God's face and reform our ways. It's not our nature to hear everything that the Lord would speak to us. It's not our nature to be humble and conform our lives to His Word in every area. But the Lord has given us a new nature. And let me speak just for a minute to Christian women. Certainly the ones that are here, but I'm talking about Christian women that will hear this message. Many of the problems and the woes some women have, I say some women have, would be solved. They would evaporate like summer snow if they would submit themselves to the Lord. If they would pray with an honest hearing heart, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. You know, many women barely listen to the preaching of the Word of God. I guess they don't need it. They barely listen. Of course, some of this is the fault of men, too, who act like women are spiritually inferior, who are good for childbearing, and as long as they bear children and do what they're told, they'll be all right, and they're not as intellectually able to understand things or spiritually able to receive the Word of God, and they're the source of all evil or something, and they must have a man, or otherwise what are they going to be? I know a lot of women that don't have a man, and in some cases they're better off. But I'm telling you, there's too many women who barely listen to preaching the Word of God, and they totally ignore the counsel of an older, wiser woman in spite of what the Lord has spoken. Here's what they do. They look for a like-minded woman who likes to wallow in self-pity, imagined ailments, and inflated mini-dramas. And they flock to that woman. And we have little woman's mini-conferences. How are you feeling this week? How did it go? Are things getting any better for you? Are you still having drama in your life? Oh, how are you doing, sister? You ought to be saying, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. You ought to be going to women who are wise, older women who are wise, truly godly women. But I've noticed it. With a certain type of woman, they don't go there. They look for someone like themselves. And there's always someone a little more flamboyant or a little more, what can I say, messed up, for lack of a better phrase, than them. And maybe they can counsel them, and then they'll feel good about themselves. I tell you, I've dealt with it before. I won't go any further. The women who would be daughters of Sarah would do well to give up this way of life. Give it up. Start tending to the things you're supposed to tend to. Start trusting in the Lord. Those of you who are homeschooling, do it right. Spend more time in prayer, women. Spend more time seeking the Lord. Spend more time saying, speak, for thy servant heareth, and listen. And having heard, say as did Mary, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Listen. And men, you know it runs counter to our nature to humble ourselves. It runs counter to my nature. It runs counter to us to empty ourselves of stubborn pride, to unabashedly love the Lord Jesus Christ and follow us, follow him. It runs counter to our nature to be able to say in truth to the Lord, here am I, for thou calledest me, and speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. But we have a new nature. We're not our own. We are bought with a price. Where he leads, we must follow. There's nothing unmanly about humbling ourselves and submitting ourselves to the word of God, even if it means we have to change our minds on some things, even if it means we have to change our lives in some areas, even if it means we have to bear some reproach for Christ's sake or make some sacrifice, Christ who bore our sins on the tree. Samuel was a man's man. If you don't believe it, if you could only ask Agag, but you can't do that because Samuel hewed him in pieces. Or if you'd ask Saul, you'd know Samuel was a man's man. But better still, Samuel was God's man. Samuel was a man of courage and strength. Samuel was a man's man, but he had the trusting heart of a boy. A boy. God give us the trusting heart of a boy eager to serve and please his master. Here am I, for thou calledest me. Speak, for thy servant heareth. You know, this was the same heart the men of the past had. This is the same heart of the great men of the past who contended for the faith against error within the church and apostasy and tyranny without the church. That's the heart they had. You reap the benefits of that. What heart do you have? What heart do I have? These were the sons of Samuel. And we will not forget that with them, there were women who were daughters of Sarah who said from a believing heart, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. May the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts today concerning this text, that it wouldn't fall to the ground, any of it, that God would work a great change in our lives. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.